Welcome to the Fittest Podcast in Oakland, where your favorite coaches talk everything to help make you a better person inside and outside of the gym. In this episode of the Fittest Podcast in Oakland, Ben and Robin are going lightning rounds. I don't really know if 2 minutes is lightning rounds, but you know, for some people, it's a really long time. For some people, it's not long enough. Either way, we answer all your questions from the Ask Me Anything board in 2 minutes or less, most of the time. So sit back, be ready for some fun and some laughs and lots of knowledge bombs as we drop them. So enjoy all the knowledge bombs as we ask and answer anything. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to answer all your questions. So sit back, listen up, and enjoy this wonderful podcast. Okay. Second time's the charm. Maybe. Hold on. Yep, we're good.
Okay, we're good.
All right, we're good. We're good. We're recording. The thing is working.
Okay.
You know, all that fun stuff. So, today, this is going to be a little funny and a little crazy, and you might hear some very crazy noises. So, get ready. Robin so eloquently put on the board an Ask Me Anything, or an AMA, a month ago?
I guess. Yes, exactly a month ago.
Perfect.
Because we planned this.
Sure, we'll go with that. So basically, we took all of those questions and I cut them into strips of paper and put them in a box.
I love the sound effects.
If you can hear our ASMR sound effects here. So what we're going to do is we're going to lightning round your questions. So Robin and I will go back and forth answering a question in 2 minutes or less. Now, don't worry. The questions we actually like out of this list, we will do full episodes on.
Or that we haven't answered in a previous podcast.
Yes, that was very obvious. In some of these questions, I went, that one's answered. Oh, that one's answered. Oh, that one's answered. But I get it. Questions repeat. Yes. Hence why we leave podcasts up and say, go listen.
Yeah.
Hence why we do this.
But I want to congratulate everybody because they kept it classy. Don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, you can have fun, but it was kept pretty classy.
Writing on the board, keep it semi-appropriate, actually was followed somehow.
Well, see, that would have made me just want to be inappropriate. So.
But you would have been inappropriate from the start, right. So that's a bad... It's a bad barrier to entry. I don't know. Or starting line.
Standard.
Yes.
There you go.
So I am very impressed that you all kept it above board.
Good job.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
So good job. Yeah. All right, Robin. Do you want me to go first or would you like to go first?
I want you to go first.
Okay. So this is how this is going to work. I have a box full of the questions, all pieces of paper. I will read the question, and then Robin is our timer today, and she will start the timer, and I have to answer the question in 2 minutes or less. Of course, if we go slightly over, we might finish our sentence, but we'll see how we do.
Yeah. All right. How about I let you read the question?
Let me read it. Oh, this is a good one to start. What is the easiest / best, most realistic way to integrate better nutrition habits? Pause. I took these straight off the board. So if the English is not good.
That's okay.
It's not quite my reading. It might also be your writing on the whiteboard.
Okay, so read it again.
What is easiest / best, parentheses, most realistic way to integrate better nutrition habits?
Okay. All right. Ready? Go.
Find something sustainable. And make it really, really easy. We've also done a whole series of nutrition podcasts. So go listen to those. I think they're like episode 12 to 15 or 18 to 21. Just search Nutrition Matters in either Spotify for us or Anchor. And it will come up. But basically, pick a habit that's stupid easy for you. Whether that's, I will carry my water bottle everywhere for me. That forces you to drink more water. I will put vegetables on my plate for every meal. Whatever it is. Pick something so easy that you crush it for a period of time and then build upon that habit.
I love it.
I could go into like a whole hour long on this, but...
No, you're good. You're well under 2 minutes.
That's the goal. So, perfect. That's the standard of us answering questions today. It will now go completely downhill from here.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. All right. I got... Damn. Tips for a traditionally skinny / gangly person to finally put on muscle. All right. Ready? Go. Okay. So tips, go back and listen, look at our nutrition, podcast and remember that it is actually technically harder to gain weight. So don't be too hard on yourself. But you just have to eat more. It's really that simple. You have to eat more. We can also give you some maybe strength bias, your workout. So a little bit less burning it and a little bit more putting weight on. And we can lower your reps. That's another thing. Strength work, like a classic strength work, and then all the fuel you need to support that. So more calories than you burn. Track your food, just like if you were going to lose weight, and then you can tweak it as you see, and then set a realistic goal. These are the same advice that we would give you for losing weight, right? And then check in, put habits in place. Every time I have coffee, I better have this many grams of protein, right? So kind of link your habits together. And then you should pretty much always feel not just satisfied, but full when you eat. That's another kind of gauge. And maybe sometimes even uncomfortably full.
Yeah. Most of the time.
Most of the time. Yeah. Sorry. So those are my tips for that. Strength bias training. And you can do that in class, in open gym, both, all of the above. And then eat as much as you possibly can. Good?
Perfect.
All right.
That was one of the questions I wanted to answer. So that's also the fun part of this. I'm going to try my best to stay quiet. And
yeah, that's probably the hardest part of this podcast for both of us. We both have to let the other person talk uninterrupted.
Yes.
It's a good exercise, though.
I'm going to say this, too. I know a lot of people who wrote questions when I was in the gym, mainly because I'm a snoopy person. If you have an actual question, schedule one of your one-on-ones, and we will help you with that question. Deep dive it. So I know who this person is. Hit me up. Let's get together.
He can't stand it.
I can build.
He has to answer the question.
I can put more food on you and give you all the trips and tricks.
Yeah. And that goes for all of these questions, guys. Mm-hmm. Some of them were for fun and we really like those so much. So keep those coming. And then if we did do a podcast, then we'll probably circle back somehow and maybe link the podcast on the whiteboard or put out a document or do something so that you have those reference points. I love these questions. Okay.
Ha! Yes! How fit is too fit?
All right. Ready? Go.
If your fitness is taking away from the other things you enjoy in life, you are too fit.
Okay.
So if you're not trying to be a professional athlete or you have other responsibilities outside of the gym, and now the gym is taking away from those and it's decreasing your relationships and other things, you're too fit. And this is where it depends on how you define fitness. I'm making the definition of this as a physical fitness, but hopefully you've heard enough from Robin and I and our lifestyle habits that you realize that fitness is well beyond just the physical aspects. And it's all the other relationship, emotional, mental aspects of all of this. So there is no real like, too fit when you think of it in that way. But if you just focused on the physical, you can very quickly become too fit if it detracts from everything else in life. So from someone who experienced that slightly, not in being too fit, but his focus on fitness taking away from everything else in life. Yeah, that's when you know it's there.
Okay. All right.
And I'm impressed. I haven't gone over a minute yet.
I know. It's impressive. Cool. All right.
I got two easy ones, I'll be honest.
Oh, go-to stretching routine and a time crunch. All right, I love this question. And I say this in class sometimes, but I'm going to reiterate it here. A lot of the warm-ups that we do in class are repeats. So we will do the same things over and over again. One, it works, but this is one of the reasons, guys. So you remember, because you've done it so many times, you remember nerve flossing to dead bugs to glute bridges and 90-90s and pigeons and legs up the wall and child's pose and pay attention in class because we give you the answer to this in your warm-ups, but also in your cool downs. So it's a great and stretching routine is just pick a body part or pick a routine from a class you took, and kind of have your favorites or the ones, or ask us, like, we know you, like, just say, hey, I really want to focus on my hips for a while. Can you give me five of the warm-up things we do? That way you have coach's eyes on you when you're doing them in the warm-up, so you know you're doing them right, as opposed to going on YouTube and finding something and maybe not doing them correctly. So that's how I would answer that. Cool?
Cool.
All right. So many papers.
Oh, man.
What is it?
Why CrossFit?
Damn, I wish I had gotten that one. All right, go.
Short answer. Best modality I currently find in fitness to help people get to their goals. In a simpler or broader answer, I would say CrossFit is on a greater mission and in a greater company to do more good than I see other programs and things doing on a whole. So if I look at the methodology and the being a part of a community of greater goodness, and that's the way I look at CrossFit, that's why. Like, I don't think the movement patterns are that fundamentally different than anywhere else. I don't think the nutritional practices are that fundamentally different than anywhere else. I don't think getting people together is that fundamentally different than a lot of other gyms. I don't think even the private training and coaching and individualization is that much different. I think the fact that you're a part of a greater movement of good is why I say it's so good and why we should do it. And I could go on for hours on this one. But I could also rip it apart at the same time. But for right now, I can't find something better out in the world. So that's why.
Wow. I'm going to change my, I'm glad you got that question. Actually, I really like that answer. Yeah.
And it's funny. Cause if I am sarcastically the best, worst CrossFit coach, cause I can rip it apart as fast as humanly possible for a whole number of things. But also I can look at it and go, well, show me something better right now in a hole.
That's good. I don't want to give you any extra time on your question.
Yes.
That's cheating.
I know. I cheated there.
No. That was my fault. Okay.
Sorry. Some of these are stuck together because I cut them very quickly.
Oh, I bet you wish you got this one.
No, I actually don't wish I got that one. All right. Say it and then I'll say why.
Okay, but not on my timer.
Yes, not on your timer. But
favorite part of being a coach / most rewarding moment?
How do I pick one moment? That's why I'm so glad I didn't get it, because there's no way I could pick one moment.
Well, I'm going to not cheat. I'm going to answer this. Oh, I got to start my timer. Thank you so much for keeping me honest. Favorite part of being a coach? So I can encapsulate this into not just one moment, but The favorite part of being a coach goes right back to the why. And this is one of the few things Ben and I share. Now, we share a lot of things. But the most rewarding thing is seeing you guys go outside the gym and do something you did not think you could do. And it doesn't even have to be a physical thing. It could be a giant hike but I've had people tell me someone collapsed in my house and no one could get them upright and I was able to get them in a life-saving position, or someone fell on a walk with me and I was able to get them up and help them to the wherever, you know, those kind of things. Back to your mental health and like the empowerment, and I didn't ever think I could do this and I found I could do it in the gym. So now I go out and I have those difficult conversations. situations and I try new things that I never would have tried before. And it makes their whole quality of life go up. And I mean, there's just nothing better than that. Yes, I love your first pull-up. Yes, I love the total and seeing you guys all PR. But for me, it's seeing, getting those that feedback of I went out in the world and I did cool stuff because of what we did in class. Yeah?
Perfect.
All right. I almost went over in that one. Good. Right. Yeah, I could go on and on about that. Yeah, but yes, that's... And I shouldn't, because that was it. That was the simple answer. All right.
That one we should probably do as a podcast. And I think the person who wrote that question, and it's in a different question, asked that question and then said, ask all the coaches, basically.
That would be such a great coach roundtable. We just record it at a meeting or something.
I wouldn't even do that. I'd just do it one-on-one individually. And yeah. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah, it would be really fun. Yeah.
Almost like the interviews on the street TikTok thingies.
Oh, I like... All right. All right, read it.
This one's going to be super fast. What's your go-to karaoke song? I'm actually going to make Robin answer this too, because we can both answer this in probably under 2 minutes. Mine is...
I don't remember the name of it, but I have a video of you singing.
Oh, jeez, I can picture it. Oh my gosh. Can I phone a friend?
No.
Can I Google? No. Because I can picture the music video. It's... frick. I can literally... It's You and Me, Baby, Ain't Nothing But Mammals. What is the name of that song? I can't remember it. Wow.
You said it. You said the mammals. And then what rhymes with mammals? Is it something about animals?
No. Oh, my gosh. What is the name of that song?
I'm going to Google it.
Google the name of that song.
But what do I put in?
Just type in You and Me, Baby, Ain't Nothing But Mammals.
Everybody's screaming at us.
I know. I'm sure... This is when I laugh at people who miss these questions on the street. It literally just blank mind right when I said it. It's going to laugh when you Google it and comes up.
Bloodhound Gang, The Bad Touch?
Yes,
no?
Bloodhound Gang, Bad Touch. Yep, okay. That's it, 100%.
Okay.
If you're bored, go YouTube that music video. You'll have a great laugh.
Or ask me to play you the video of Ben singing it.
Yes, that probably too. So since we have 40 seconds left, Robin, do you know your go-to karaoke song?
I have a personal rule against karaoke. Never done it, never will. Well, I shouldn't say never, because that's a bad word. No.
Look at you holding such a high standard and respectability.
Don't get drunk at the company office party and don't sing karaoke. There you go.
There you go. Good job, Robin.
Bye.
Principles to live by.
All right, my turn. Bye. Oh, okay.
This is another good one.
Question, what's one thing you wish CrossFitters did more of? All right, my timer started. All right, you all think I'm going to say mobility, but I'm not. I'm going to say I wish CrossFitters did more of foundation building and going back to fundamentals. I'm going to use my learning an instrument metaphor because I was a nerd growing up, so I don't have a lot of sports metaphors. My husband would say blocking and tackling. So for you sporty peoples, those are the fundamentals, right? So build the fundamentals, right? And that's what the gift of Ben has been. He's kind of brought fundamentals to this gym with bracing and single leg work and overhead carries and all of that stuff that you're like, why am I doing this? This is dumb. And warming up and cooling down and all of those basics. I wish CrossFitters would spend a little more time doing that because then you could get so much more out of the fun stuff. It would be more fun. You wouldn't be in so much pain. You wouldn't get injured. You wouldn't have to take time off. You would be more efficient at your movements. So that's what I wish CrossFitters did more. And if mobility is part of that, but just really shoring up the holes in the boat. We've talked about that in the Strength Balance podcast and probably every other podcast. But that's what I wish CrossFitters would do more.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Very nice. Oh, this one's good. This one I've actually already answered to the person who asked the question. So, ready?
Well, for the rest of us, yeah.
Yes. How do I know if I'm ready to go back to working out postpartum?
Okay, start.
So This is luckily only 2 minutes because I could go on a full 4 hour rant about this. The fact that we think that women can go through pregnancy, and I'm not saying you all are weak or anything like that. I just understand that that is a very intense and a beautiful moment that you push a basketball outside of you. Sorry to be blunt. And we just go, nah, take 6 weeks off and go back and do whatever you're going to do. So, having worked with women who have come back from pregnancy and also seen women come back from pregnancy and then also had to deal with the ramifications of not doing it right 30 to 40 years later, here's my advice. First things first, follow what your OBGYN has told you and your midwife has told you. Also, force them to connect you with the proper physical therapist to start rehabbing once cleared. Yes, Robin is making an upward motion.
I'm not supposed to be answering it.
But that's exactly what I'm saying is there are some pelvic floor specialists in the physical therapy realm that can help you rebuild all of that. And it's really, really fundamentally important. Then once you've done the physical therapy and come back and been cleared to enter the gym, it is an on-ramp program to rebuild you before you're going through intensity. If I'm thinking timelines, I think it's 6 weeks to get cleared to go back to things. At 6 weeks, start physical therapy. From physical therapy, it might be a month, it might be 2 months. And then in addition to that, it's another 1 to 2 months before you're really back into classes. And it's like Robin just said, the fundamentals need to be rebuilt. So I would say you won't know and you won't feel ready. But if you do those things, you'll be ready whenever you do try it.
Are you done?
That was close.
Ooh! 5 seconds
but,
to start.
But yes, I could do a whole podcast on that.
And maybe we will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I got very scared when I walked in the gym one day and four women were pregnant in my class.
Yes.
And I didn't know what to do. That was
so
hilarious.
Great. It is so great to see you pregnant mommies in the gym, though. And,
yes.
And we can help you with all that stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Yay. Okay. What daily and weekly exercises would you recommend to supplement CFO classes? Well, I mean, this is a repeat question as far as I'm concerned, I would say. if we're going to go outside CFO, I like a nice restorative yoga class, perhaps would complement, undo, but it's not something that's going to repeat the movements you did, like chaturanga and all that, because you did a bunch of pushing probably all week. Restorative yoga, relaxing, right? The stuff with the gongs and the whatever, the eye mask, like that whole thing. But no, we're back to those fundamentals, shoring up, find your supplemental exercises. For me, it is overhead carries, perhaps. It is RDLs, single leg, RDLs, bleh, bar hanging, those kind of things like that are going to make you better. Nothing too taxing because you get that in class. So we call it accessory work. And if you don't know what your accessories are, great opportunity. Meet with your coach one-on-one. I would like some accessory work to do. Maybe throw in some fun stuff like handstand balancing, you know, stuff that's maybe not too much of it, but, you know, get guidance from a coach. But, and then speaking of that, we have pole dancers, we have dancing in general, hiking, that kind of stuff would be really fun. Something skill based, maybe, I don't know, gymnastic-y stuff that's going to kind of challenge you in a different way. Yeah. Nice little jog, maybe. I'm trying to think of stuff. No, you don't get to answer it.
I have two.
He's hurting. I'm going to give him my last 15 seconds. Go.
Long hikes.
Yep.
And we ride an after party every day.
Oh, yeah.
Do the after party.
Yeah. And the after parties are great because they complement the workout of the day.
Exactly.
Okay.
That was the old dude. Yeah.
You were about to explode and I had to have pity on you.
It's a funny question to me because I'm like, it's right in front of your face.
No, but I like that.
Yeah, it's a great question. No, it's a great question.
And we get the thing with that question is we get it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people really want our expertise in that because they don't want to do anything in addition to the class that's going to hurt them or that's going to be counter to their goals. So excellent question, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And there are so many options. So again, please come to us one-on-one. We would love to give you something we think you might want to do for your particular goals.
All right.
Oh, I should have said Aaron's running class. Okay, go ahead.
What's one thing you wish CrossFitters did less of?
Okay, start.
Felt feelings.
Yeah, it's funny.
But carrying on that tune, yes, feel your feelings. Yes, have feelings, all of that. But for real, have a little more faith in yourselves. Like, I think it's the self-doubt and the worry and fear that everything's going to go wrong in the gym, in that stuff. It's that and then complaining are my two. And I get it. It's scary. It's hard. And you feel feelings. But so often do I see people hold themselves back when they're capable of more. And that's where it's frustrating because I'm like, you are so much more capable than you realize. And it does become rewarding when they realize that. The other thing is complaining because it just puts a negative light on something that you're doing. And to be honest, you don't have to do any of it. Like, you don't have to be there. From a guy who had to be there for some things in training, you get to. I hate to use the old thing, but you get to. So, and if you don't want to, you don't have to. So remember that. But yes, feel your feelings, but kind of push through them and ignore them sometimes, and you're going to be all right. And then two, don't complain, because it just makes everything feel worse.
I agree. All right. It's cold, Ben.
Yep, exactly. Never helps.
All right, good job. Next. Let's hear from the other coaches, who they are, why they coach, and their rewarding moment. Okay. We did talk about this a little bit, and I love that someone wrote this, because this has been on my to-do list for a long time. Is we did interview Nick, but we want to interview everyone. We want you guys to learn all about your coaches and what makes them tick, what their background is, what their why is. I think this is an excellent question, and we're definitely going to revisit this one.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for whoever wrote that.
Yeah. We've done Jaewoo too.
We've done Jaewoo. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're right. I just wasn't there, so it doesn't count.
You were definitely there.
What?
When he came back from Denali.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I clearly wasn't all there. Yes, we did Jaewoo. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, you guys. Next.
What's this one? Oh, this is a good one.
Okay.
As we are, how can we maintain our endurance? I am resting too much.
Ooh.
Okay, so one, I know who wrote this question.
Do you agree that they're resting too much?
They are resting too much, but it is not because of their fundamental endurance. Okay. So to be fully transparent, a lot of our workouts are not endurance-based. We don't go for more than 30 minutes a lot of times. We don't go for more than an hour. That said, this individual, I know the way they are training, and they're very focused on strength bias training. So they're doing a lot of strength work and not a lot of conditioning work. So if you want to stop resting, there's two ways to do this without adding something. What I would tell this person is get outside and do more long walks and long things to build endurance back up. And also understand, if you're chasing something strength wise and you do a lot of strength work, it's going to make you have a different focus. But in conditioning workouts, this is where staying below the red line or the threshold line is going to be really important for you. So think smaller sets, quicker, faster breaks, and going back to get over your feelings. You're probably resting because it's uncomfortable and you just need to go back and do it. And you can't, knowing this person. And then maybe sometimes modifying a little more than you think. And not only like weights, but movement patterns.
Do you mean scaling down or scaling up?
Scaling appropriately.
Okay.
Like to the question about building muscle earlier, that was a scale up the weight, but scale down the reps. To this person, it might be taking the weights down and the volume down a little more. So you're forced to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But also like understanding that rest is okay in workouts and that type of stuff. And you should hit those walls
and feel uncomfortable. And that's just part of training and building that system back up. And here comes the buzzer.
Oh,
why didn't they? Oh, there it is. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, that could be a whole podcast in and of itself about training and building up stamina and capacity. Oh, by the way, that is what comes in the next 3 months of programming.
Yeah, so. Be careful what you wish for.
I will say that that person needs to build capacity, not endurance.
Yeah, that's a good podcast to talk about what those words mean.
Exactly.
Oh, you're going to be so sad I got this one.
Yeah, that's a
good
one.
But I kind of know your answer, so I'll kind of steal it. Okay. This question is, why is Joe P such a badass? I love this guy so much, you guys. This is we started CrossFit together back in the olden times, and we were lifting partners. And he's just, first of all, the reason Joe P is such a badass is because he's a genuinely kind person. He is a selfless, kind, giving, loving, empathetic, compassionate, wonderful person. And everything he does is kind of coming out of that place. So, but in terms of the gym, because I only have 2 minutes, he shows up, he's consistent, he sticks with it, he's coachable, he tries not to overreach. So he gets a lot out of the workouts, and he's constantly trying to get better. He shows up for social community events, so he's really bonded to everyone in the gym. He talks to everybody. That really motivates you to come in, you guys, not just the changes you see in your fitness, but the fact that you want to go see your friends that you like so much. So that's something he does very well too, whether you're he's known you for 10 years or 1 month, he's still going to talk to you and be your friend. And he's always willing to help out, and he's just a great person.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Couldn't said it better.
Yeah. He also takes really good care of himself outside the gym, and that's important too. You know, he's just a healthy guy. He has really good relationships. He has good boundaries around that too. So good job, Joe P. We love you.
Oh, this is a good one.
What'd you get?
How much recovery time should I take between classes?
Okay.
This is the age-old depends question. So depends on what was the class. Like, is it a soul crusher or was it a rebuilder for quality practicer? It also depends on how hard you tried in class. If you sandbagged it and you phoned it in, fine, great. Probably not going to be too wrecked from it. If you pushed your limits beyond all compare and you did more reps of something that you've never done in your life, probably going to be a little beat up and sore from it. So what I tell people, time does matter, but in the greater sense and scale, what we're looking for most people to do is 3 to 4 days in the gym. So that is all going to depend on your schedule. If you can time it perfectly, I would say, 2 days on, 1 day off, and then 2 days on can work. You could always do the 3 day, 1 day, 1 day, 2 day type scenario. If you're going for 5, you could do 1 day every other day type thing. This is something you have to play around with for you. And I would say, don't worry so much about time, worry about the things you do. So did you get enough food to eat to help you recover? Did you get enough rest and de-stressing to help you recover? And did you drink enough water and rehabilitation to recover? Those would be what I would say versus just time. But in general, I would say give yourself 12 to 24 hours if you just want a time answer. So if you're coming at 6 p.m. at night, it's going to be really hard to turn around and go to 6 a.m. the next morning. So give yourself a little more time than that. But otherwise, for most of us, that's not the problem of why you're not recovering. It's not a time issue for most of us. Mm-hmm. I would say for probably 98% of us. There.
Cool.
Perfect.
All right. My turn. Oh, one at the bottom. What do we got here? Oh, no. This one's going to be really hard. What's your favorite memory at the gym? Wow. Okay. Picking one memory. I actually don't know how to answer this. I mean, I think sometimes it's those really dark times and how people come and kind of build you back up again. That, and I can think of, you know, the past when the pandemic, we I don't know if we're done or whatever, but just the really early days of that. I know it was really hard and awful, but I really love how we came through that. That's one of my favorite memories. We also went through a really hard time when we first moved into this building, and it was not on such a grand scale. And just kind of realizing that people stuck with us against all odds is really cool. It's something that's outside of a gym. Like, it's the community stuff. It's not to sound woo-woo. Also, every single holiday party. I just love the holiday party. I just gives me the biggest warm fuzzy and glow. So I love those. I can give you specific memories if you want to talk one-on-one. But I really enjoy the social events that we do. Those are fun. Mm-hmm. Those are the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I like it.
All right.
Oh boy. This is a paragraph. Let's talk mobility and mobility programming / habits outside of class. Is there a best time of day? How often? What movements are standard go-tos?
Okay. So, all right. Mobility. Go.
First, knowing this person, go listen to the strengthening versus stretching podcast and which one you need to do, because you're more on the other end of the spectrum than the mobility end of the spectrum. Hate to break it to you. But for mobility and things like that, one, first, find the hole in the game. Robin talked about this earlier. Find the hole in the game. What is not mobile that should be mobile? What is too mobile and needs to not be mobile? That's what you need to work on. Best time of the day, the time you'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whatever that is for you, perfect scenario, I would say start your day with some type of stretching routine, 5 to 10 minutes, will make you feel better. Definitely like that. How often? How often you will do it. So tie it to a habit, tie it to anything like that. But the big thing there is find something that is sustainable and repeatable for you. If you're thinking that you need to make 30 minutes of time for mobility, you're not going to do it. So it could be 5 minutes after class. It could be 5 minutes before class. That's more important. Doing it is more important than the perfection of it. So find something quick, easy, dirty, 5 minutes at a time. Movements that are standard go-tos. I don't even know where to begin, because again, it depends on the hole in the boat. Like, if your shoulders are perfect, you shouldn't do shoulder mobility. If your hips are perfect, you shouldn't do hip mobility. If your ankles are perfect, you shouldn't do ankle mobility. And vice versa on all of these things. The mobility, I think, is almost turning into like a junk term a little bit. And I think focus on strengthening the right pieces. And just get your body moving. Like, honestly, for most of us, just get up and move. That's enough mobility for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good enough for that question. But to the person who wrote this, more focused technique and strength work will actually solve your mobility issues.
Cool. Wow. Good work. Okay. A lot of questions. I love it. Thoughts on how to work out, move when sick or feeling under the weather? Okay. All right, you guys. There's a before pandemic and no, I'm just kidding. How to work out and move when sick or feeling under the weather. Okay, so you have to learn your body and you have to learn to feel your body. Okay, so if you're feeling extra tired that day, maybe modify your intensity in the gym. If you know you're sick, please don't come to the gym. I mean, don't come to the gym. We gave you a million at-home workouts. If you insist on working out, go back in your emails. Hopefully you save them. But we have tons and tons of at-home workouts. Also, SugarWad has an at-home version of all the workouts in the notes. So you can always do some sort of modified version at home if you just don't feel good. If you're just like, I might be sick, I don't know if I'm sick, I'm just tired and cranky, whatever, you might want to come in and do the warm-up And then if you're still feeling crappy, yeah, you might be coming down with something. Go home. But if you've done the warm-up, maybe you feel better, then maybe you aren't getting sick. Okay? So, but if you're truly sick, you have a fever. If you have a fever, don't work out. Don't do anything. Rest, right? If you have a little cough or whatever, or you're getting over being sick, again, I would try to stay away from the gym and do something at home. This is a great opportunity to do your mobility or a YouTube yoga class or go for a walk. Walking is always good. You're not going to get anyone else sick. You can go as long as you want. You can go up hills if you're feeling frisky, whatever. That's what I would say. You have 13 seconds if you want to say anything.
And if it's stuffy head, if it's based in your head and it's stuffy head stuff, like you just feel stuffed up, come and move. If it's chest or stomach related, aka you feel like it's in your lungs or you feel like you can't walk more than 5 feet away from the bathroom, stay home.
That was good. I couldn't remember. I knew it was like starve a fever, feed a cold or whatever.
Yeah. That it's usually like from the neck up, usually sweating and moving will shake that out.
Yeah.
When I'm backed up in sinus and just have that runny nose, every time I move, I feel way better. If it's like deep congestion, like cough, nasty cough thing, yeah, walks in the sunshine and all that. And then if it's like, I'm afraid that if I squirm wrong, my pants are going to be dirtied.
Yeah.
Stay home.
Yeah.
You know, like, or throwing up too.
And guys, rest is so key to recovering from sickness. So don't, if in doubt, if you're on the edge, I would say don't push through. Take another day to rest.
Right? The only one I would argue with that one is the hangover one. Sometimes sometimes sweating shakes the hangover.
Yeah, if you're hungover, I don't know if I'd consider that. Feeling under the weather, I guess. Yeah, if you're hungover, get your ass in here. Take your lumps. You're not going to give anyone else your hangover.
Exactly.
And you will feel better when you're done.
Right. Yes. Sometimes. There's a point.
But don't do that to yourself because you're just poisoning yourself. Exactly. Stop it.
Oh, boy.
All right. What is it?
What habit/quality/trait makes someone a great client to work with?
Ooh, I'm so glad you got this one. All right. You ready?
Yep. Okay, go. Do your actions match your words? If you tell me you want something and you want to be something and you want to do something, do your actions match your words? And then from there, taking the coaching to reach whatever you want. And that ties into honesty as well. There are some people I know in the gym that they will tell me their goals and I know their actions will never match them. There are other people who are just brutally honest with themselves and with me. And I know exactly where they stand every single time. And I won't say they're easy clients, but I know what they think, why they think it, and the game I have to play to get them to do the right things. And they agree with me. They're just like, I just don't want to do it. It's like, fair. If you just don't want to do something, tell me. I'm cool with that. But that's like legitimately like, be honest with yourself. And when you're honest with yourself, usually you take coaching better. Usually you take feedback better and all of those pieces and parts. And this one I could go on for an hour long rant about, and I would just call it a rant because it probably wouldn't be productive. But seriously, and then lastly, because I forget this all the time, be nice to the people around you, make friends, connect with people, like all that stuff. Like that, I went from the coaching side, but also if you're connected, communicating, learning the people's names in classes, you're going to have more fun in the gym and the gym will be a better place for you. So that will make you a better client.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've tried to create a happy place for you guys. So yeah. And back to what Ben said, just to kind of spin a little bit positive, even more. And I think we will podcast on this. Maybe you don't know what you really want,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Oops. Anyway, so goal setting or learning like what you really want might be of value.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go. All right. All right. Okay.
There was one person who wrote a 3-part question and I broke it into 3 pieces. So.
All right. That's all right.
So this is that question.
We kind of answered this. When sick, what specific movements and warm-ups should you do and what should you avoid? Again, okay. Just in general, when you are, again, legitimately sick, your body needs energy to fight that. It's usually an infection of some sort, right? Or you're feeling bad. It's your body needs some energy to fight that. So keep that in mind. So you're not going to be 100%. So you kind of have to, again, check in with yourself. And you're like, you know, I don't feel bad just walking around. Then go for a walk and come in and do the warm-up if you're not contagious. And go slow and dial back the intensity. But if you really truly are checking in with yourself and you're like, I try to get up and I just want to go lay back down again, then do that. So kind of go into that, how much percentage of energy do I have right now? How much does my body need to rest? So what should you avoid? Anything that's going to tax you to the point where you're not going to recover, right? You want to keep getting better so that you can come in. Again, if you're on the tail end of something, you know, don't baby yourself too much because you still need to move and it will help you get better. But gentle movements, like we said in the other question, like warming up, stretching, going slow, nothing too taxing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Perfect.
All right. Next. All right.
Ready? Why no bench press?
Oh! Oh, good.
So one, what makes me laugh, when this question got written up on the board, literally that week in the after party, there was bench press twice. And then almost, I won't say every week, there's been a lot of weeks where bench press is in the after party. So it tells me this person is not paying attention to that.
No.
So that's why no bench press is actually in the after party. So that, real reason, I find that bench press is not as valuable for most people. There are far better things that we need to be able to do with our shoulders and pectorals and things like that. So if you want a bigger chest, there's actually better exercises than bench press to build a bigger chest. And then also, if you want to be better at pushing muscles and shoulder health muscles, there are better exercises for that as well. That's really fundamentally why no bench press. There was a moment in time in COVID times where there was reasons for no bench press. You can imagine the spotting and things. But really and truly, based on our clientele and shoulder health population, the bench press would be more of a detractor than it would be an adder. If you really love bench press, I would say do it in the after parties. That's why they're there. So I don't neglect it for all of you. Also, I would fundamentally look at why you love it, because there might be some ways to do it better. From the classic ball sport sense, the sport that most people tie bench press to is football. And I will tell you, in my 4 years of playing college football, we rarely ever bench pressed. We did a lot more dumbbell benching. So just something to think on. And if you want to talk to me more about this and bench pressing, I would be happy to.
So you're assuming barbell bench press in that question?
Yes, I am. Okay. Assuming barbell bench press.
Okay.
Cool. So that's why.
All right. Love it. Good answer. I literally had a very, your friend John, the first guy is doing intros. We're sharing him. He said, I will do anything in here except, and I was sure he was going to say deadlift. He said bench press. He said, it hurts my shoulders. I'm like, I can find you a way to bench press that won't hurt your shoulders. Yep. He was really excited about that. Okay. How do I, I might yield some of my time to you for this because I don't have this. I have a bad answer. Okay. How do I stop/prevent the yips with sprints in intense workouts? This is a legitimate question. I know who did it too. And that was, okay. Starting. All right. So just so everyone knows what the yips are, I believe what this person is talking about is gagging and feeling very nauseous, like they're going to throw up. Do you agree?
That or freaking themselves and messing themselves up to do in the beginning of the workout.
Oh.
Like they just do something so stupid. They're like, how did I even do that? So stupid.
I think she means that when that she gets like, she wants to throw up.
Yep.
Okay.
I've seen it both ways.
Okay. So, in this, I'm going to go with that just because I'm making an assumption. So hopefully that answers the question. When I feel that, I slow down, breathe, and don't throw up because I don't want to. But I also am not the person that's trying super hard. So this is going to be a really hard one for me to answer. Breathing, watching how you eat around your workout and drink around your workout. And then sometimes it's just going to sneak up on you and you just got to excuse yourself. But because I want to answer this quality, I'm going to let Ben take my second minute. Perfect. What do you think?
Experience more intensity. Get comfortable training in intensity and what that feels like for you. That you have to build capacity with intensity. That might mean bringing intensity down at times. It might be bringing intensity up at times. It is literally getting comfortable with that. That will also help the nervousness. Because unfortunately, but I'll also say like, that's a good sign too.
Yeah.
Like the yips can be, the nervousnesses and the sicknesses. I mean, you might be pushing yourself to a point of making an adaptation.
It's a neuroendocrine response.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not necessarily a bad thing. So that's why I say get comfortable with it, because you'll find that. But you got to taste the pennies at times. That gross taste of like, oh my God, you gotta have the Fran cough at times. Like, these are good things in life. So I wouldn't take the yips away from anybody, but definitely have to find ways. Yep. Definitely have to find ways to be comfortable with discomfort.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Also, it does happen. People have thrown up during workouts.
Oh, yes.
So, so if you have to excuse yourself, no big deal. We're there for you. If it is happening on a regular basis, you need to look at how you're training.
Yeah. To be very clear, and I know we're over time, but we you don't want that to happen. You know, if it sneaks up on you, we're like, yeah, once in a while in a competition or in a particular hard workout. Yeah. It happens to all of us. It happens to me. It happens to you. But yes, if this is a regular occurrence, that's not healthy. And that's not what we want to train.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, if you only drink coffee before you come to the gym and then wonder why you feel nauseous or have the yips, it's because you only had coffee.
Coffee gives me superpowers.
It does. But put food or water with it.
I think it's your turn.
Is it my turn?
Yeah,
I just
yielded some of my time to you.
All right. Trying not to look at these at the end.
This one. I know which one you want. It hasn't come up yet.
No, I don't want that one.
Oh.
This is the final third part of that sickness question.
Okay.
When sick, how much is enough rest / when do you push yourself to get back?
Okay.
This is going to also be a depends answer, but fundamentally, push to get back as soon as you can. And I don't mean like back to full state. When I think about sickness, I say it takes 21 workouts to get back to where you were before you got sick. So that's where I say start slow and start back. And that can be, I remember when Robin and I both were out with COVID, my goal was to stay moving every day. And it started with a 10-minute walk. I would set a 5-minute timer. I walk out 5 minutes, walk back 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to build from there. And then I did 15, then I did 20. There were days in which I did too much on that. And that was just an assessment. You'll know it because you will literally come back and crash really, really hard. And that's okay. That's your body trying to recover and adapt and find that. I think a lot of us get very nervous, and especially in the last 2 years with everything that's been going on, we forget that our bodies are super resilient. Mm-hmm. And we forget that we put up with stressors, we put up with problems all the frickin' time. So you're more resilient than you think, and you're going to feel your feelings sooner than you actually feel, that sooner than you're causing actual damage. That's the way your body works. It's going to signal to you that something's wrong before it actually is wrong. So to be honest, how much rest is enough rest? Turn the alarm clock off, go to bed early. And whenever you wake up, that's enough rest. When do you push to get back? As soon as you can. And that might mean you're just doing the warm-ups. You know, if you're not contagious and you're just doing the warm-ups and then kind of like moseying through, perfect. Mm-hmm. And we'll start reintroducing things. But if you've been out for more than 2 weeks because of illness and you're not going to the doctor, it's too long.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, it should be days, not weeks.
Yeah.
Or you need to be in the doctor.
Or you need a doctor's note. Okay. Oh my gosh. So many questions. Oh, I like this one. Is it safe to do CrossFit while pregnant? Okay. All right. We sort of touched on this. You definitely can do. This is the rule of thumb. Whatever you were doing before you were pregnant, you can continue to do with modifications if you don't have any risky health issues connected to your pregnancy. Sometimes stuff happens and you have to go on bed rest. So always, always, always consult with your doctor. But most doctors would tell you don't start a new fitness program when you're pregnant, but you can continue and you have to modify. So certain things, before I go on, I want to say, and this makes me crazy, but if you're pregnant, you're not ill, you're not injured, okay? Don't treat yourself like you're ill or injured, right? This is an, yes, things change, you're laughing, but it's a really good point because you can go down that rabbit hole, right? Where you're just like, oh, because you will feel ill, you get nauseous, you'll get heartburn, you'll get lots of stuff. Trust me, don't have children, it's terrible. But yeah, you should continue to move your body and build your body and get in positions. It will help everything. It'll help you stay sane. It'll help you with the birth. It'll help everything with your balance. Your risk for injury while pregnant will be less if you're strong. So it's all good. So a couple things to keep in mind, always doctor, but you're going to want to modify the intensity so you can kind of hold a conversation while you're working out. So you always should be able to talk, and that's not so with regular CrossFit. You got to watch inversions. You got to watch how much time you spend on your back. There's certain things like that, and your doctor should be able to tell you all that stuff. And then work with your coach. We will help you modify and make room for that belly. And yeah, it's a blessing, really. Don't listen to me. It's great. Okay. I'm out of time. Right?
Yep.
Good. Do you like that one?
I love that one. Okay. And then go listen to the Rachel and Donghee podcast. Rachel may have a lot of expertise about this.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
AKA she's very pregnant.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick pause because our recording's going to run out of time. Okay. So hold on 1 second. Okay, we're back. And we only have a few questions left, but I didn't want the timer to run out. So I'm going to grab one
tragic.
Here. Yes. I think we only have like 4 left or so.
Okay.
Oh, I like this question.
Okay.
And this person, I think I know who it is. What's more important, gym, food, or sleep? One.
Go.
One, the person who wrote this. We've talked about this, sir. And, oh, shoot, I gave gender away. Sorry. We've talked about this one, and you know the answer. It's the one that you're not doing. So basically what I'm saying is there's a couple little lines here for you. Are you sleeping 6 to 8 hours a night or more? Right? If you're under that, sleep's probably your problem. And that's, you know, track that sleep, find that sleep. It doesn't have to fully be uninterrupted, but you do need to accumulate that much sleep there. And that might be number one. There, mm-hmm. Like first sleep. So if you're not getting more than 6 hours a night, really, really examine that. And I mean like real sleep, not I went to bed at 11 and got up at 5 a.m. That's not 6 hours of sleep. So check in on that one. But you can modify that. You can work around that. But first that one. Food. Eat. I mean, we've done so many nutrition podcasts. Make sure you're eating good food. Find that. It does play a role in the old school statement of you can't out train a bad diet. So that is definitely true and definitely something you need to focus on. Last but certainly not least, are you getting to the gym 3 to 4 days a week? Like, and not only that, like also looking at the other side, are you doing strength training 3 to 4 days a week? And we do that every time you come in the gym, no matter if it's all body weight, whatever, that's where it is. So I wouldn't say one is most important. I would say whichever one you're neglecting is the one that's most important to you.
Good answer. I like that one. Yeah. More holes in the boat stuff. Well, good. I'm glad I got this one.
Yes, this.
It's for Robin. Effects of cycle on performance, especially strength. Okay, for 2-minute answer. First of all, Ben is totally comfortable talking about this stuff, just so I know. You might not be people, and certain people, but that's okay. I love that you asked this of me. yes, the cycle definitely affects strength. You are going to be, you know, that time of the month when you're cranky, irritable, crying, anxious, you think everyone's talking behind your back, you can't get enough chocolate, and you feel tired, and you know, you see where I'm going here. That's the place where you're not as strong in so many ways, but also physically. And I'm oversimplifying because I only have 2 minutes. Lots and lots goes into this. But as you come start your period, that's actually when you're probably the strongest. So, you know, so hit it harder there. And then, of course, as you come out of that, those first 2 weeks of your cycle, you're going to have a lot of those good feel-good hormones. You're going to feel more confident. You're probably going to want to take more risks with your list. You're going to feel stronger. You're going to feel less afraid. You're going to feel less anxious. You might be coming to the gym more because you're getting more sleep, all of that stuff, right? You're going to be eating better. So that's the part that is going to help you a little. So in when you guys, I mean, I don't get PMS that much anymore, but I know it sucks. And I would say instead of worrying about your fitness as much during those times, maybe a little more focus on your sleep, your self-care, be nice to yourself. Still come to the gym, but be nice to yourself and don't worry too much because you're going to come out of that and then you're going to have that upswing and you can focus more on lifting heavy and all the stuff you love. But be really nice to yourself because it's hard. The hormones are hard. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, we might do a podcast on that in the future. Oh, that's yeah. A good one. All right, guys. Next.
This is perfect. This is one that you would never want to answer.
Yeah.
So I will answer
okay.
For maybe both of us, but probably not. ready?
Yeah.
If Robin and Ben were WWE wrestlers, what would they be? Stage name, costume, signature move.
Okay, I got this one too. Go.
So I'm going to answer for both of us.
Yeah.
Just because this is going to be funny. Probably we would be a tag team thing, just because that's how we also work in all of this. And we would also be the tag team partners that fight one another from time to time, randomly. So it'd be great. Robin would definitely be some type of mix between Amazon goddess power warrior from what's it? Wonder Woman.
Love it.
With 80s hairband.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
Yes. So there would be some type of great 80s song that she walks out to in all of that, but also she would have this great Amazonian vibe. I would be some mix of Randy, Macho Man, Savage, Stone Cold, and The Rock all rolled into some craziness of there. So yes, very neon, like kind of crazy hair, but also the straight swagger of The Rock in that movement. And then the just, I don't give an F or I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
Stone Cold, Steve Austin.
Yeah.
in that, I don't know. I am still trying to come up with walkout song and all that for something else. Stage name, I don't have a good one.
Oh, Nancy told me to take, sorry, I'm interrupting
you. Yeah, go.
Your favorite salad and a class you failed. So I never failed a class, but I came really close with econometrics. And I love this Faro salad right now. So I'm Faro econometrics. Okay. You have to, I'm gonna turn the timer off for you.
So mine would be Greek three-dimensional calculus.
I love it. That makes you sound like a nerd, though.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Three-dimensional calculus.
Yes. And I technically didn't fail it, but
yeah, I know. Like, one of us ever would fail.
No, I would have definitely failed this class. But this class is notorious at the academy. You most even. Unless you are a literal math major, you do not pass this class on the first try.
Like, don't football players pass all their classes?
No, not even close. especially not at the academy. But based on that, you literally, like, you could drop the class up to the last day of the class and get a withdrawal, grade. Yeah, like, it was literally built like that.
Oh, God.
The class average on the first exam was a 36%. And it's like, at some point, I'm like, is this us or is this you, the teacher? Yeah. Like, at some point, you have
sounds
to look
like
in
a you problem.
Well, and I'm talking to, I took this class with Rhodes Scholars, yeah. like people who went on to go to the highest levels of education, future astronauts, politicians, and all sorts of goofy
smarty
things.
Smarty pants.
Like, these people make me look very dumb. And I am fully transparent in that. So that's why I'm like, at some point, this is you, not us. But that's what that class was notorious from. So I would have failed it, but I withdrew from it.
Well, we need help getting you a name.
Yes. I think we need to go back to the Google machine. I love Miss Singer, but I don't think
that didn't
right.
work. Okay.
I don't think it worked.
It was pretty funny, though.
Yep.
Yeah, well. All right.
I actually know what this last question is,
okay.
and we've already said it, but can you feature Coach Nate in a podcast?
Hell yeah.
100%. Robin already mentioned it. We are going to do all the coaches. We might even do JWoo again, but it's been in the works. It's been in the plans.
But we're really happy you guys want to hear from the coaches.
Yes.
So that's just going to put it up higher on the list.
We will definitely do basically like we do athlete spotlights, which, oh, by the way, those are going to come back. We will do coach spotlights too.
I really want to do Nate too, because I think he's misunderstood in some ways.
He's definitely misunderstood in so many ways. But also we have Steph about to start. So we will definitely do one with her and her.
And like, Britt
started, you know, everybody loves Lori, the mysterious and wonderful Joey.
Oh yeah. You guys have no idea.
And then Colin would be Ben and Colin Bro Fest.
Ooh, yeah, I love that, a Bro Fest.
2023, probably.
That happens every Tuesday night.
I was going to say, whenever you get a podcast from Ben and Colin every time we're together, because we don't shut up. So you probably don't want that anymore.
Well, thanks for all the great questions, you guys.
Yes.
Continue with them. I have another use for the AMA board. It's regarding the holiday party. I'm just going to plug that one time. One last time. No, that's not true. I'm going to keep plugging it. Saturday, December 17th at the Veterans Hall in Piedmont. You'll be getting an email soon. The whiteboard's going to be used for something regarding the holiday party. So check it out.
Yeah. Perfect.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right. Next time.
All right. Bye, gang.